Welcome to the Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Coles. I have dedicated the last 15 years in the fitness industry to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control and become a master of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you, so let's get right into today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. Now, we're at episode 91, and I'm really pleased to bring another guest onto the podcast. A lot of you messaged me following the interview that I did with Tom and found it so valuable. And one of the most important things, as you all know, is that I want to bring on people that have been in the industry, that can add value, that have been in the industry a good amount of time, and share their experience and knowledge. And my guest today, Adam Bisick, who has been a coaching client of mine for over a year now. But not just that, you know, Adam's a phenomenal coach and someone I'm really looking forward to speaking to today and, you know, allowing him to share his wisdom and experiences with you. So, Adam, thank you for joining me on the Mastery Podcast.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a long time coming, man.
Yeah, no, well, we've talked about this for a while, and there's been quite a lot of episodes that I wanted to do, and, you know, quite a few of you guys have said, you know, like, who else are you going to be bringing on the podcast? And I was like, I know who I want to bring on, and I said to Adam, I was like, we got to get this sorted, and we're here today. And Adam, if you wouldn't mind giving everybody an overview of, you know, you're clearly not in the UK, you know, how our paths cross, and also you've been in the industry now like 9 years, right? And you've done a lot. Just could you give everybody an overview of where you're located and how we met, and also, you know, kind of what's happened up till now in your career?
Yeah, I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota, so dead in the center of the United States. Real cold here right now.
That's why you got a vest. Why you got a vest on?
Yeah, right. What, you call that again? I forgot what you called that.
Well, what do you call it?
We call it a vest.
Yeah, I called it a vest.
Oh, you
they
do?
Call it a singlet in Australia, don't they?
Oh, okay, yeah. No, we met, I've been following you for, a couple of years there on different social media outlets. And then, you know, last year got a hold of you, knew that I needed to make a change and I needed some accountability and some guidance. And man, you got right back to me on Instagram, direct message. And it's been great ever since. But yeah, I mean, I've been in the industry in some way, shape, or form for now a decade or more, been practicing as a professional since graduation. And I think what you guys call university, college year, for about 9 years now. And I was big into research initially, moved into the private sector, into PT, and into a larger chain called Lifetime Fitness here in the United States. And then in about 2012, I started my own practice, just as a PT, and that kind of grew into PT as well as online coaching.
Brilliant. Well, one of the great things about having somebody like Adam on the podcast is because, you know, I've been in the industry a long time. I've spent a long time trying to grow my brand and grow my business and also, you know, build my body and my brain. And, you know, Adam and I really hit it off when we started speaking, because not only does you guys have only got to go to Adam's social media profile, the guy is in phenomenal shape. You've competed, you've done photo shoots, and you know, you've worked with a lot of top level athletes. And you know, I have a lot of respect for people that have developed a level of branding that you have. And you know, I think it's very important to hit this right at the start. What was it the main thing that stopped you and said, I need to take a hold of something within my career? We're going to cover various bits of your career, but there's some, you know, I want everybody to know where we're going to kind of go to in the podcast. But, you know, you may be listening to this and thinking, you know, Mark's going to have a chat with another coach and they're just going to, you know, talk through what they do. But there's a lot of messages in what we're going to talk about today. So the first thing I want to kind of, you know, get you to understand is where you were at the point that we first met, and kind of what had happened so far. And we will cover some of the natural things that happen as being a PT, but what prompted you to say, right, you know, I need some accountability, I need to speak to somebody?
you know, I was at a point where what many people in our industry would think is a successful coach from a client book standpoint, revenue standpoint, online business standpoint. But I essentially hit a ceiling. You know, I knew that and had this almost cognitive dissonance for about a year or two of I need to do something else because I can't sustain the way of business now that I'm doing it. I'm just going to burn out even further to the point where I'm afraid of what would happen. And I knew that in order to achieve what I wanted, which at the time I actually found out I really didn't know what I wanted, would be I needed to create more revenue and a little bit more time freedom. And at some point in time, things had to change. So, you know, looking at, I need someone for guidance. I need someone for accountability. And you were the person that came into my life at that time.
Well, do you know, you've hit a really important point. And we've not really talked about this at length. And it's interesting that I've just finished 2 days filming 26 modules for my new Brand Impact Mastery course. And what was amazing about it is, you and I went through quite a lengthy process, a lot of different calls on Skype, discussing the subject of vision. And we worked pretty hard to actually try and uncover what your ideal vision looked like. And it was tough to find, right? So we went on this journey. I mean, how do you find that unfolding, and what impact has getting clear with your vision now made for you moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, to initially start when your questionnaire was really, you know, eye-opening in terms of what do I view as success? And for me, it was just prior to that, literally running scared of trying to push a revenue number up without knowing why. And, you know, going through the process of, like I said, your questionnaire and seeing, you know, I'm really passionate about learning. I'm really passionate about relationships. And obviously, in order to get where I wanted to be, I needed to have more time freedom. I needed to have more time to learn, to fulfill myself and my interests. And, you know, I needed somebody, even though I knew not necessarily what to do, but that I could do it, but that I believed in to bring me through that process. Because, you know, if you tell somebody who has a full book of business that, you know, you need to increase your numbers there, you need to decrease your in terms of what you charge, and you need to decrease the number of hours that you do in the gym, they think you're nuts, right? And that is what I needed. So I needed somebody to show me that how to do that, that it's okay, and to be with me in that process along that timeline. And, you know, that's, you know, what we have done and what we are continuing to do at the time being.
And we talked at length about the reverse engineering process, because this was the biggie, right? Because one of the most important things that I work with people on, and you and I did it together, was actually looking at where you want to go. And it was very clear that you wanted to more time to study. Because the interesting thing here is, you know, some coaches just want just to make more money. But yep. Other people, they really value, as you do, studying more. And that means traveling and meeting different people and being in inspiring environments and having time to grow and learn. But essentially, we have to create that time. So by reverse engineering the process, what were some of the things that we looked at and you went through, and what did you take away from reverse engineering the journey?
The first thing was, and this is hard for a lot of people to do as PTs, I know it was for me, but it was to increase my prices. And that in and of itself will... And it could do a lot of things, but oftentimes create a little bit of attrition, which is hard when you're so focused on having a full book of business. But in the end, it adds up to be at least the same amount of revenue, if not more. So that was one of the first things. And then obviously that creates time for me to be able to market more, to work on online clientele more and to service them. And so that has been probably the biggest transition that we made, and that was after the first couple months we worked together, is really having the confidence to do that, which inevitably just led to more people online.
Yeah, and as we've seen, you know, there's one of the biggest things that we started to look at, which was clarity, especially from a coaching perspective. We know what sort of numbers we wanted to do in the gym. We're going to talk about online in a little bit, but something we actually talked about offline was getting to the point where you had your full diary as a PT. Now, before you even started with me, you've been a very successful personal trainer up to this point. I don't want us to miss out this whole career that you've had, because there's trainers listening to this, they're in their first 1, 2, and 3 years. And yes, you're getting to the point where 9, 10 years in, you're thinking, right, okay, and I say enough's enough, like working absolutely flat out and not really having the next stage of your career planned out. But why do you feel that the first 6, 7, 8 years of your career coaching people on the ground at the intense level that you have, why has it played such a big part in your progress?
A lot of it is experience, and a lot of it is a testament to how much you want to put into your business. And so building a book of business, building a lot of referrals is immensely important for anybody in this industry. And I think that you have to go through that grind for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it might be, in order to establish yourself, especially in your area, as a professional that knows what the hell they're doing, and to get referrals. And if you don't do that, I mean, you see a lot of people that want to jump into online coaching right away without any experience of working with people hands-on. And that's just setting themselves up to fail. And I mean, with any trainer, I think it's hard when you're going into a career to understand or to hear that you have to put in a lot of time. You have to wake up at 4 a.m. You're going to be doing this many clients. You're going to be devoting a lot of yourself to your business. So it's hard for a lot of people to understand and hear. But if you don't do that, you're setting yourself up to not be a top tier coach.
So how did you, and I did this as well, and I'd really like to hear your perspective on this, because for the majority of my career past year two, everything was referral. You know, I see nowadays everybody's looking for the latest ad technique and looking for the latest lead generation strategy to try and get clients. And I always preach, I'm like, I can do that, obviously, you know, for a lot of people, whether it's online. But then I really struggle when trainers in gyms are trying to look for the latest marketing strategy, and I'm like, just be good at what you do. And you have an incredible referral rate to the point where you're like, hey, dude, I just keep wanting, people want to work with me all the time. And that's where I got most of my anxiety from, people saying, can I work with you? And I was like, I'm full. So if you could have a couple of things to say to coaches listening to this about building a referral, and obviously they're seeing so many different marketing strategies. What's been pivotal in your ability to build a thriving referral-based business?
There's a lot, but if I were to pinpoint a couple of things, my continued education and passion to better my skill as a professional has set me apart from a lot of people who have been content with their level of education. And so just my skill is noticed on the floor. I mean, when you're working with somebody, especially when I worked in more of the corporate setting, Lifetime Fitness here in the United States, but it's not just your P, the, not just the person that you're training that sees you, it's everybody else that's around you. And people know who's a good trainer just by simply watching the amount of care, the amount of skill, the amount of attention that you put for your clients does not go unnoticed. And if you're not putting that amount into the person in front of you who's also a referral source, you're just not going to be a top tier coach.
And I love this because we talk about top tier, and there's a lot of coaches now that you said, you know, they get to a certain point, and I honestly, there's a lot of people that are saying I'm going to be a great coach, and I look at the what they say versus their actions, and I'm like, you're not going to be a top tier coach, because it's like somebody wanting to make a great deal of money from a business perspective. If they're not working hard every single day, if they're not diligent with what they do, they are kind of setting themselves up to fail. So, you know, let's look at attributes of a top tier coach. You, in my opinion, are a top tier coach. So, what do you do every day? What makes up your week? What wisdom can you share with your 10 years of experience with coaches that are saying, do you know what? I want to be a top tier coach. I want to have a referral base, because your referral base has allowed you to increase your fees. You've never ever been short of clients. People are always coming on board with you. This is a dream. Trainers in the first 5 to 1 to first to 5 years is, you know, we're going to talk about how you're now making more revenue online, more ebooks, and all these opportunities that are coming your way. But, you know, how does Adam run his day? How does Adam study? What are your personal standards?
Well, I mean, I think I should start off with saying that, at least in my eyes, I have never been anywhere close to perfect in terms of my implementation of, you know, even the stuff that we put in place that I've wanted to do. And so that it's a testament to, you just have to put in the work. You have to be able to show up every day. You have to be regimented. And it's not going to work out perfectly. You're not going to be, man, there's so many different marketing strategies that I've wanted to put in place. I could be a lot better, but the biggest thing is routine. You know, I set a schedule. This is what I do week to week. I have it set. It's standardized. I have centers of procedure in place every single month, every single week, that if you don't have that, you obviously will, your business will crumble, or at least it won't be as successful as it can be. You know, and now I try to set aside time weekly to learn. I'm taking a course currently. It's a Muscle Nerds course, a program design course. That
some dude called Luke Lehman, right? Good God. You know,
time, you know, during the week where, you know, I can do that. I take online coaching check-ins on Fridays. I work on those over the weekends. And so if those standards of procedure, if that routine wasn't in place, which I've seen, you know, other coaches, both online and in person, that haven't had that, they're just not meeting their full potential. They're having a large amount of attrition, a low amount of retention. And so I think routine in setting standards of procedure for your business is immensely important.
And now let's talk about something that is important, because, you know, we talked about Tom last week and we talked about scaling his business. We went straight into the business aspect and not taken away from anything that Tom's developed in terms of his professionalism and knowledge. He's an incredibly skilled and knowledgeable coach. But, you know, talking to you right now, I want to enter to just talk about managing time, because you prepare your food, you're a bodybuilder, you train like a machine, you train clients, you study, you have an online business. And we've got trainers right now in their first 2 years going, I honestly don't have enough time to train. I've got 35 clients a week. I'm absolutely flat out. I'm actually not keeping on top of my physique because I don't have enough time. I'm absolutely drained. And I'm like, what are you studying? How hard are you training? How many clients have you got? And they're like, oh, I don't have much time to do anything else. I've got 35 sessions a week. My question for you is, what advice would you give to young coaches are seeing people that talk about the entrepreneur lifestyle? It should be working less and, you know, not being able to manage. I mean, I manage my body, my business, my brain, my nutrition, my training, everything. But I'm even more regimented because of that. How do you manage, and what's your advice to trainers that are saying, you know, everything that should be the measure of success from a trainer in its early days, I'm struggling to manage that. How do you manage all this?
I think the one thing that's important is when you have, as a personal trainer, as a coach, whatever you want to call it, think about what you tell your client. And most of the people that work with us have, you know, a large amount of disposable income. They are busy, successful people, the lion's share of people that we work with. And so we work with them on healthy lifestyle habits and skills as well. And so it goes to the same point of being in shape, if you will, or practicing what we preach. If our clients are equally as busy, if not busier, and they still make it happen, and we still want them to make it happen. So it all comes down to priorities, setting a routine and making it a priority. And it also, it should be noted that, like I said before, I'm not perfect at it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I could be much better. And if you want to say balance, I think I still have shitty balance. I think it is something that is, that you, when you're a successful entrepreneur, that you're always chasing in some way, shape or form. And what people's idea of balance is a bit skewed. And you know, I have time to make my meals. I have time to get my workout in and train all the clients I have and, work with my online coaching clients and do all my studying. But it should be noted that that's basically what I do. And what my constant work has been on, how do I establish time freedom from that to have meaningful relationships and do things outside of that. And so, yeah, I get all that done, but know that that doesn't mean I'm perfect at it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody that's going to try to be like, we keep hitting on this top tier coach thing, understand that balance isn't going to be something that is going to happen in its most traditional and common thought of sense. That mm-hmm. It's something to strive for over time, and you have to find out what your own balance is. Mm-hmm. And know whatever you're telling your clients to do, you have to be a role model of that too, and hold yourself to that standard, understanding that you're not going to be perfect, but also that you have to uphold those things that you tell your clients to do as well as a standard for yourself.
I love that. And from your perspective, you know, getting to the level that you are right now, what have you had to sacrifice, if I may use that word, with studying and training and being dedicated to growing your business? You know, what sort of things have kind of are lower on your priority in order to make all these things happen? What's had to be lower down?
You know, and I kind of spoke to this just now, but other relationships outside of, you know, business. And I have not been really good at, and since we've worked together, I haven't been in an actual relationship, like with a significant other, no girlfriends or anything like that since. But I needed that because I was in that for so long, and it was dysfunctional because I didn't know how to balance a good relationship, meaningful relationships in business. And that's not to say that I don't have them now. A lot of them are acquaintances and close friends that I've established through what I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have that great balance right now, and it's something that I'm continually working for, to be honest.
But do you believe that there needs to be a percentage of your career which you have to dedicate, as you've done, to build your body, your business, your brain, before we get to the point whereby, let's say, for example, you start your career at 22 with a significant other and you roll together. You're going to go through your ups and downs, surely, but if you stick together, you grow together. But if you go on a path that it's 120 miles an hour to become the top tier that you are and grow the business you are, you know, there kind of sometimes has to be a little bit of a hold on certain things while you're on your mission to be this success that you want to be, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say that you can't be successful without a significant other. There will be struggle, and you have to be able to communicate what you need and be a very good communicator, and establish being a support. But there is some sacrifice if you want that. And I think if you know the coach, Shelby Starnes.
Yes.
Yep. He's like, and I'm sure he's not the first person who said it, but the people that are the best, if you want to be the best, forget about what we think of as balance.
Yeah.
And you know, in terms of compensation, I make more than double what I need, you know, and I don't need to make as much as I do. And I understand that, but I've pushed myself to want to reach the highest standard and to fulfill my greatest potential, and understand that it takes this quote unquote lack of balance for a little bit in my life so that later I can have more time freedom. And I continually work on that as I can. But I also do, it's not to say that I don't have relationships outside of business. I certainly do, and certainly have healthy relationships. I just know for me right now, mm-hmm. having a significant other, I can't commit to that because it would be selfish on my end. Mm-hmm. And again, not to say that I won't have one in the near future or future at all. I look for that. But it's only fair that if I know that right now, this time in my career, I have to put a lot into that, into myself. Mm-hmm. And so this sounds cheesy, but to find not just professionally, but personally, how to love myself, find what I want. And achieve that first before I can have a really good, successful, meaningful relationship with a significant other. And so I've kind of come to learn that. And it's been the hardest thing for me because up until, honestly, you know, you and I started, I had been in a relationship almost consistently for a decade, mm-hmm. you know, or more. Mm-hmm. And I needed to find myself personally and professionally and pursue these things in order to get fulfillment and to have the chance at having meaningful relationships with a significant other moving forward.
And I think this is a big key thing to us, because a lot of us are trying to strive. And I'll be honest with you, you know, at 39, I met my now wife, and that was a point in my life at 39 years of age where I finally was like, okay, I actually had given myself permission to bring somebody in. permission to allow somebody to come on the rest of the journey with me. But up until 39, I'd kind of been on lockdown to grow my business, my brain and my body. That was what I told myself. And it's quite interesting because there's a lot of trainers that are looking for this perfect level of balance, trying to take this degree of freedom and this early freedom. It's like people are trying to find the early retirement before they've earned the right to retire, you know? And I love this because it's like, Mark, you know, I want to make more money, but you know, how do I create a business model that allows me more time? And I'm like, dude, you're 2 years in. Like, if you truly want to be a success, I want to bring people on the podcast that are challenging themselves. I don't want to sit here and say, hey, look, you know, let's be like Mark and let's be like Adam that don't really put their heads into relationships until they're flat out ready. But I want to bring people on that have achieved success and have put themselves in a position realistically where they've fought for what they want. And I think what's very interesting from your perspective is, you know, we're always trying to understand how to get better. And you said that I really don't have great balance, but you have great balance relative to many, but not necessarily great balance in respect to where you want to be, right? And so we have this measure of what we actually look as balanced, but most people can't track their food, cook their food, train, run online clients, study, and train day-to-day clients. And you've got that balance of five things. And if you throw one thing into the mix, then we get anxiety. But if you can do your five, we're happy days, right? And the funny thing is, most people struggle to do personal training clients and train. You know, there's three more things that you're juggling at once. So I think this has been a really important point for us to cover because it's slightly different to things that we've discussed in the past. But I want it to be a value to personal trainers from their year one to year 10 that if you say you want that ultimate level of success, there's got to be a degree of sacrifice. There's got to be a degree of, you know, I'm going to put my head down and make my name. Now, you've made a very successful reputation for yourself online. We're going to talk about that in a second. You've built an incredible body. You're known for your incredible glutes that you have. But when we talk about personal trainers and being in shape and how that has impacted your career. Now, not everybody has to be a bodybuilder, but there's a lot of trainers I know that want to be great at what they do and be respected for what they do. I'm a big believer if you want the brand of a physique coach and somebody that helps people get in great shape, how much do you value, I know you value it for you, but how much do you value it for other coaches to see creating something within themselves in terms of how it impacts their brand and what people see visually?
Oh, yeah, I think we spoke to this before, but it's like any other industry or anything in life where first impressions, especially in our industry, are really important. And if you don't look the part, if you haven't been to where you want to take people or tell people you can take them, that's going to be really hard to convince them that you can do that. You don't, like you said, you don't have to be a, you know, professional bodybuilder or fitness model, but you have to look like in practice a healthy, that you do practice a healthy lifestyle, that you do the things that you're going to make people do. And it is integral, to look the part if you want to be a well-rounded, and here's that word again, top tier professional.
Yeah.
That's part of it. And like I said, it doesn't mean you have to be the best bodybuilder, best bikini or figure athlete or fitness model out there, but you should look like you actually diet and exercise, you know, if you're going to get a good book of business and be a top tier coach.
This transitions really great into kind of what we wanted to look to do, because in a very short space of time, you've established yourself as an authority online. You've got a very credible social media page. You've got a lot of people following you, and full credit to you because of what you've been able to do for yourself, but your knowledge at the same time. We looked at a couple of things. You know, you're a top tier coach. You've got great clients. You've got great referrals. There was a few things that we originally said that we needed to do. One was to bring your coaching hours down but increase your fees, which we did. Two was to increase your online coaching. And when we identified, we looked at your platform and you had, what, 10,000 followers at the time, right?
Yep.
And what were the major things that we identified with your online? Because what we decided to do was increase online coaching, which allowed you to do a little bit less coaching. You still wanted to do personal training. But we wanted to increase revenue, which was ultimately going to bring you in more revenue to study and travel and do the things you wanted to do. What were the biggest things that we actually started to identify with your online coaching in terms of being able to increase the level of engagement from people?
I think one of the questions that you'd asked me, and I remember I was actually on my way out to San Diego, flying out to San Diego, and this was a call I took at the airport. And you said, if there were to be, what do you think that clients or people online look to you? What type of information would they look to you for? What would you best be able to convey, or what do people look to you for in terms of information? And for me, it's been my lower body development and identifying what my strength is, what people look to me for, and doubling down on that. And so I think it's important to know what you're passionate about, what your niche is, what distinguishes you as maybe different from other professionals, doubling down on that and really pushing that hard. And because that's what got me the greatest engagement. That's what got me the more clients, more leads. And that all led to a larger following, and it almost like a compounding effect. And what's interesting is our last call together, we talked about, you know, how over the year, I as a professional and as a person have grown, and that has changed to where now I'm becoming also known for great quality coaching information in terms of diet, lifestyle, and things like that. And almost, I don't want to say rebranding per se, but changing what that is, what my niche is.
Exactly. You know? Do you know what we've been able to do? And something we talked about on the last call, and I just fill that little bit in that you just put towards the end there, was people's perception.
Yeah.
Changing what people perceive you to be. Now, before we started working together, what do you think the perception was of you?
It was just a butt, honestly.
Yep.
Lower body trained to a certain extent, and people looked at me for that, but it was a butt. I really didn't have clarity on what my brand was.
Right. Well, I love the fact that you mentioned that, because a lot of people don't really know what a brand is. And this is one of the biggest things that we've actually been able to, I mean, your following is now, what, 30,000?
Mm-hmm.
Identifying your brand, your personal qualities, what you want people to know you for, and therefore how to convey that to them, has shown incredible growth from 10,000 to 20,000. Now, it's your content, it's your information. I haven't been writing the post for you, but being clearer on the information that you need to present to people has had a hugely positive impact in your page, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And that, I'd say it's rebranding, but we've now become very, very clear what the brand of Adam Bicek is, right?
Yes.
And so if I said to you now, like, we did this recently, right? We messaged people and we wanted to find out what people follow you for, and they follow you for your, you know, your lower body training. And then in terms of what the perception is from other people from just training, what are people's expectations from you now in terms of what they are on your page for?
Well, that was actually eye-opening for me, because it was about two-thirds people looked to me for lower body training, one-third looked to me for just diet and exercise lifestyle coaching information, which was great to see, because that's really who I am,
yeah.
You know, and it's really what I provide, and the value I provide is more than just that. And we had to leverage that. You have to understand that you have to leverage the thing that's going to work, but also take into account what you are passionate about, what you want your niche to be. And I think it's important to note with social media, because, and you can attest to this too, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, it's become increasingly harder to get engagement based on whatever algorithms they used over the past year or two. And so you have to be consistent, and you have to be clear in what your message is and steadfast in that, because you can get discouraged really quickly if in terms of marketing with those outlets because of how it's now run. But if my business success in the last year isn't a testament to it, because that's really when Instagram has been tougher, is over the last year, and I was still able to grow, you know, by 300% in terms of followers, is that you just have to put the content out, be consistent, and not get discouraged, because you very well easily could be.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's very evident from you is we're not just sharing your training. We're actually looking at the brand and saying, right, well, training is a big component of why people follow me. But if I want them to get to know me better, I actually need to start putting a little bit of me into it. And you never really put a lot of you into it. And you also never put a lot of your kind of more lifestyle thought processes in your and your mindset. How impactful has been sharing more about who Adam is, with your content?
Man, a ton of messages that I've gotten on that is just being, I think it's so important to be a real person to people because people can relate to that. They really, truly can relate to a real person who has real struggles. And it sounds cheesy, but it's the truth that if you really believe who you are consuming information from is a real person, that they go through the same struggles and shit that you do as well, you'll believe in what they give to you and you'll want to follow them more. And I think it's really important because, and it's also freeing to be able to be just who you are on top of being, your professional self, if you will. Because yeah, I can attest to that being something that certainly, as an online coach become invaluable.
And what kind of strategies have you used to try and show people more of who Adam is?
More of it's the stories, the Instagram story type stuff. And that's just taking a picture of what I do day to day, a video or picture, and just, me being goofy or whatever it is. And I think being confident and okay with videoing myself and providing that type of footage, so people can hear you, they can see how you articulate yourself, they can see who you are, has helped immensely.
Because it's very interesting with a brand, right? Because a brand is not only what we want, how we want to others to perceive us and think about us, but if all people ever see is a picture, how do they ever get to know you? And the funny thing is that when I do a voice note to you on WhatsApp and we talk, you hear my voice. When people are listening to this podcast, you hear our language. They don't. You don't just see an article written and try and interpret what I mean and what my, how I'm trying to present that. It's down to the way that you're only articulating yourself. But now, what you've been able to do with your post and your content is give a human element to the guy that trains, which, to in all intents and purposes, to most people, could be quite intimidating. Would you agree?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And so, from a social media perspective, we've seen 10K to 30K. The biggest thing that's influenced that for you is more to do with the humanized approach. You're adding in education as well as your own training, and actually having a more of a multifaceted approach to running your social media. Is that correct? Now, we actually worked pretty hard on getting more social media engagement and getting more people to actually to try and sell your coaching, because one thing that we did do very well is we've gone from 15 clients to 50 online client to 40 online clients in the space of time that we worked together. So what do you feel has had the biggest impact in getting people to sign up with you? What's the strategies that you've used that have actually got more people to sign up? Because I mean, I talked to you at length about doing certain things to make sure that you get in front of people. What are some of those things that you've done?
Well, I think that to say that it's any one thing would be a lie. Obviously, there's a lot of variables at play that compound to make that happen. One of them is like you said, is getting my strategy of putting out content has been huge, and how we've worked on that, getting out in front of more people, being consistent with engagement. And what's been huge is not only has my following increased, but the shift of what the following, the quality and shift of people that were coming to me for information has shifted where, and you've spoke to this before in your podcast, is I'd rather have only 10,000 followers instead of 30,000 now.
Love it, love it.
Actually engage with what I do. And that the number doesn't matter if people don't engage with you for what you're doing as a service. And otherwise, if they're just following you for entertainment, it's not doing much. In terms of real business numbers.
And I think for quite a while, when we first got together, they were following your training, but the engagement was very low. And then we started to bring in different elements of the humanization, the more knowledge, and the adding who Adam is, and starting to interact with people a little bit more and asking more questions in your content. And it gave that opportunity to start engaging people. Because as I said to you before, people were going, "Hey, great butt. Hey, your physique's awesome." And that's kind of halfway engagement, but it's not genuinely people are actually going to be interested in how you do what you do. And I suppose that's obviously been a big thing. And something else that we've done in terms of increasing lead generation, we've actually looked at creating your niche product in terms of reinventing your wheels. We've not had that out very long, but we've also had a lead magnet. How well is your lead magnet work in terms of getting leads into your world, in terms of getting an email database of people that are genuinely interested in your lower body training? I mean, we've got to turn these into more customers, but how much of a return have you seen on the actual lead generation numbers from your reinventing your wheels lead product?
You know, this is immense. It's something I never really thought about, is the fact that, you know, if you're using social media outlets like Instagram or Facebook for lead generation, that we don't own that. You know, that could be gone tomorrow. And that's a big risk in terms of your business, the leads you have and your marketing. And so starting out this process of, you know, creating a free product that people were interested in, that got me an email list, which is now upwards of, you know, 1,600 people that subscribe to that, is now something that I own. People that are interested in what I do, and if Instagram and Facebook and all these things were gone tomorrow, I still own that, because the internet's not going anywhere, email's not going anywhere. So that's been super important to have that in terms of driving sales. You know, and I think you'll say this too, but I haven't been as good at that second product. We launched a free one first a second one, and hadn't reached, you know, what I hoped. But if I look at it, you know, objectively, I have a passive form of income that's generated a couple grand that I spent some time on, and about $250 to a graphic designer, and is, you know, returned tenfold.
Yeah. You know,
passive income. I'm done with it. And so, and that speaks to just the actual income that's come in, but also, you know, a handful of clients that have done either my free program or my for sale program and turned into actual coaching clients as well.
Yeah.
It's so adding a level of and another avenue of revenue that you can create as a business.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, I talk to people a lot about ebooks and programs. You know, we've got to become a lot more skilled at marketing. We've got to become a lot more skilled at lead generation, how to email people, how to communicate with people on email, because you're very good at that one-to-one communication, those Insta stories. And then I think it's become a pretty big eye-opener that when you have to start communicating on email and having to start trying to convert people on email, it's a harder game. And I think a lot of people go straight into the email market and say, yeah, no, it's easy. I'm just going to kill it with creating my first ebook. But, you know, you're somebody with 30,000 followers. You've made a couple of grand on your ebooks. But it's not as easy as people think, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's been a big challenge, and something that we're going to spend a lot more time driving a lot more people into your product. But at this point, you know, what I think is so valuable for everybody to take away, especially looking at what we try to do and what we've actually tried to get out of the process that we've done, is we've really looked at trying to leverage a personal brand that you've managed to create on the ground online. You know, and even though you were running it online and people were training with you, you know, in a nutshell, from your perspective, where are you sitting now in terms of the time that you have available to yourself and how things have changed from a revenue perspective? I mean, just in a comparison over the last year, how are things looking for you?
Yeah, if we talk about in-person personal training, going from upwards of 40 to 44 hours a week, which is very typical for someone with a full book of business, to now we're at, you know, 30 to maybe upwards of 35. So we're talking at least 5 to 10 hours a week, which that's a day. I mean, that's a lot. That's a day for me. And now, you know, like we said, 15 to 20 online, to over doubling that and doing that on the weekends. That's basically the shift in terms of, you know, revenue. You were looking at least a 35% increase in revenue over the year, which I was topped out.
Yeah.
That's humongous in terms of yearly income and my monthly income increase.
And I think, let me just plug the charger in 2 seconds. What I want to kind of make sure that we get across to people, especially in this episode, is, you know, a lot of people are seeing, huge numbers branded around by people and crazy, crazy big shifts in the industry. And ultimately, there's this big comparison between, you know, what it actually takes to solidify scale online and how much work you've had to put in to build your online platform and how much it takes to actually build your face-to-face business. And we've now got to a point, especially for you, that you've built your brand at both ends of the scale. You've built your online brand. You know, if there's anything that you could share with anybody in terms of building that online presence and what Adam has online now, what have been the biggest take-homes for you in the last year in terms of building that presence and building your reputation online? What's been the biggest thing that you've noticed?
In terms of what I've done to become a better coach, and I think retention can speak a lot to this, not just acquisition, is one is I've talked about my passion to continually educate myself in allowing the freedom of time that you have helped me do. I've been able to go on more courses to learn more, have improved my skill drastically, which before I was a decent coach before. I was a good coach before, and now much, much better. My ability, my increased skill in what I think is massively important is how I communicate. Before you and I were together, I never used WhatsApp, which is, if people aren't familiar, an app where you can basically message, video, audio, or text people. And my communication with people, sending videos, sending audio, and people, that same personalization that I've had online with clients has led to much greater, not only success and progress of clients, but also greater retention. And so inherently your numbers just go up over time because I'm communicating more. I'm better getting across what I need to clients. People trust me, believe me more. I'm humanized more, and I overall have better progress with clients. Mm-hmm.
And this across the board, this is branding. This is looking at how you make people understand your qualities, your service, your standards. People, you know, we talk about brand, kind of the kind of journey that people are on. You know, it's so important that people experience from you the very, very best. And if you can make that customer experience seamless, professional, articulate everything the way that you want them to feel the experience from you, they're only going to tell other people. It's only going to enhance the brand, right? And I suppose that's gone from online as well as face-to-face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And from your perspective, one of the big things that I wanted to ask you was, there's a lot of coaches in the industry now. There's personal trainers that have been in the industry 5 or 6 years, and they want to be where you're at. They want to be an authority figure and a skilled, very highly skilled coach, that top tier level. They want to grow an online business. They want to do all these things. Few pieces of advice that you would give to a trainer in their first 1 to 5 years from somebody that's 10 years in, what would you say to a trainer?
I think what has carried me along the way is I've always been passionate about my craft in terms of learning and teaching. You know, if I were to put a priority and say, you know, a lot of people say, well, I just really want to help people. You know, it's not that I don't, but my number one priority and what I love out of what I do is I've continued to learn, and I've had so much passion and love to do that, which gives me a lot of integrity, and people can see that. People see you working in the gym. They see you putting in hours. They see you learning. They hear you articulate yourself. So if you're doing this to make money, and that's it, you're probably not going to be successful. If you're doing it because you're passionate about helping people or learning more about the craft and the human body and diet and exercise, you have to latch onto that passion, because that's what's going to take you through the really hard, shitty times, because you will for sure go through them. I went through plenty. You'll go through burnout. You have to keep pushing yourself. Things will be unbalanced. But passion for what you do will carry you through that. So if you haven't found that, you got to try to find that. And it might not be in this avenue, right? You know, when we first started, we had to find out, what do I really want to do? And if you're not passionate about getting better, about helping people, whatever it is in this industry, you can't make it this far. Mm-hmm. You can't put in those hours, and you can't go through that burnout and still go. And understand that balance is not going to happen if you want to be, like we've been talking about, a top tier coach. Mm-hmm. You just got to put in the time, and you got to be passionate about it, because people can see that. If you don't have integrity, if you don't have authenticity, people, especially the ones that partake in our services, they see that. So you have to have those things. Mm-hmm.
And what would you finally say to a coach who's 2 or 3 years in, not really growing their personal training business too well? You know, they've got 15, 20 clients, they're struggling to pick up clients, and they're sitting here now thinking, Adam's got 30,000 followers, he's making a great income online, you know, he's got his PT clients. I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut back my PT and try and go online. The word try and go online, I don't have many followers. It's a big thing that's happening in the fitness industry now. Young trainers thinking that the grass is greener and online is the way to go. You've built your followers. It's not been easy. What would your advice to be a coach who's actually going to say, do you know what, I'm going to scrap everything, I'm going to go online?
Here's the thing, and this goes to integrity, which is a huge thing in terms of my personal values. If you can't create a good in-person personal training business and help people make progress, I'll tell you that you don't have any business going online, because it is a lot harder to get success with people online because you don't have them in front of you. And so if you can't establish that, it's not going to be the way to go for you. But one thing that's important, because, you know, I was quote unquote successful before we started, is if you feel like you don't know what to do, whatever avenue you're in life, it's important to have a mentor. And that's what you've been to me. And, you know, it's one thing to have someone to give you the right strategies. It's certainly very helpful that you've done that for me, and that will be something a mentor can do for you. Accountability is huge. But one thing that has really resonated with me recently is, and without getting emotional, is I've had a lot of people I call big brothers in my life, mentors, for lack of a better word. You're one of them, and you're somebody that believes in me. And to have somebody see your potential, that you trust and look up to, that believes in you, is absolutely invaluable. I mean, to know that I'm not alone, to know that I have somebody who's been there, who sees my potential and can help me go to the next level, you can't put a price tag on that. And so, I mean, obviously, that's me telling you I appreciate you and thank you for being that person. But, you know, if you're in a place where you feel like you don't know what to do, get a mentor. I mean, sincerely, whatever avenue it is, whether it's personal, professional, whatever profession you have, they're invaluable, because it's someone who can help you along the way, hold you accountable, and believe in you. And you can't discount having that in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adam, thank you. It was very unexpected, and it's an absolute pleasure working with you and getting to know you. I will say this as well, because this means a lot to me, that Adam achieved every bit of success without my help. I am a guiding force to listen to where he's at this point. And I think if a mentor is there to make you successful, you've got the wrong mentor. You determine your own success. You are the person that takes the action. I can direct things based on what I've seen and what I can hear from you. And I have a lot of intuition, and I listen to you, Adam, and I listen to where you want to get to, and I put you in certain directions. And there's certain things we've done that aren't really your bag, sitting there and writing emails all day to people and trying to learn how to do copy. It's not your bag, is it? You know, and I think once you actually learn how to do more digital marketing, you'd be rather in the gym training people. And therefore, we know we can get a really successful business doing online coaching and face-to-face coaching. And it's going to mean another discipline going to start doing copywriting and email marketing and all that sort of stuff. This is another avenue. But I've put certain things in the right direction, changed this, changed that. But Adam's the one that's done the work, and that's the biggest thing. And I want to thank you, because, you know, I'm very grateful to be working with you. And, you know, what we just said there, Adam very, very rightly articulated about, if you can't build a business on the ground, growing one online, you're going to really struggle. And no matter how many adverts are telling you that it's the way to go, you know, growing a business online is not easy, and it's proof that you've been able to do that with huge success. But it doesn't mean that the grass is on the green, or grass is green on the other side for everybody. And, you know, certain people are great face to face, and if they're great face to face, it doesn't make you great online. But it's certainly getting great face to face will give you the confidence to then potentially go online, because you're going to have the results. I did say after Tom's episode, we're not going to do another podcast for an hour. It was a long one, but you know what? I love talking to you. I'm passionate about bringing trainers onto the podcast that will add value based on their experience and their credibility. You know, I don't want to bring people on that have just, you know, got nothing to add. You know, I'm a trainer that values coaching. I still bodybuild. I still love my training. I've done a long time in the industry, and it's a privilege to have you on the podcast. It's a privilege. I hope everybody else respects and values your time, because I'm very grateful for your time.
Thank you.
So Adam, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. We're going to wrap it up there. We've got 10 seconds to go before an hour, so it'll be perfect timing. But guys, before we go, Adam, could you just, I like everybody to download everybody's free program. So could you tell everybody that listens to the podcast how they get your Reinventing Your Wheels lead magnet so they can look at the quality of your work? What's your Instagram page and what's your website?
I am at BESICKFIT, just how it's spelled out. It's BESICKFIT. Is my Instagram handle. My website is the same thing. It's www.besickfit.com. Either link in my bio, you can get to that free product, or going onto my website, it's right on there, right under workouts. So you can get that there, and I'm always willing to answer any questions and help where I can with other professionals, not just with clients per se. That's how you can reach me.
And I think, thank you. I think that it's important that you guys follow people like Adam, follow people like Tom from the podcast this week, because these are guys that are implementing things and seeing a return on it. And so following these type of people that are in the fitness industry and trying to, you know, getting to the point where they're getting their voice and getting their brand and moving forward with everything is more realistic for where you're at than just following somebody that's got 500,000 followers, that's got a great affiliate network programs, that's not necessarily in the same position as you. And I think it's very valuable, you know, that you and I have had this call, and you've really helped a lot of people. So I thank you very much, Adam.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Like I said, it is a pleasure and an honor to be on here, Mark.
Thank you, man.